Today's Couch Potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. And this week we are going to use our golden compass and navigate the wide world of releases.
Which isn't very wide right now.
Yes, includes two movies, The Golden Compass and Atonement.
Which is, I think, only in like 26 theaters, so I don't know if you can call it a wide release.
We're also going to drop a few new segments on you. Well, one new segment whose name is not appropriate for the regular radio, but
so
it will be...
go to fatguysatthemovies.com.
It'll be in our special internet-only segment, which you can hear if you visit us at fatguysatthemovies.com. Or if you get us on iTunes, just go to the iTunes store, search Fat Guys at the Movies. And if you would like to get in contact with us, email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. Or leave us a voicemail, 614-388-8735. It has been a while since we've heard from anybody.
Yeah, it's sort of crickets chirping out there from our fans.
But I will say, I was looking at our statistics, our readership. Yeah, people read this podcast. Our
listenership. We don't read.
We don't read. We don't even read the schedule. Our listenership has gone up. But apparently, we are preaching to a bunch of mutes here because nobody wants to call us. And
that's okay.
Say hi.
The general rule in radio is if you cannot judge the success of a show by how many people call in, because you can go on a live radio and have a psychic, and you can have a psychic reading come on, and you'll melt your phone lines.
Right.
But nobody else will listen to the show. They'll just call to get in and get a free reading.
Okay. Well, next week's guest, Miss Cleo, should help us out with that.
That's right. We will have other guests coming up soon.
Speaking of guests, we are guestless this week in the Magical Studio in the Sky.
That's
but
right.
I just want to say that our last couple of shows with both Kristen Dreyer Kramer from nightsandweekends.com and David Metzger from bullseye.com, some of our best stuff.
We had some very good material.
Yeah, because we weren't talking the whole time. So
well, and we were trying to be polite to Kristen, and then she'd zing us.
Right.
But she brought cookies.
And Dave came in and just pretty much owned us for a week.
Before we move on to reviews, I do want to mention one thing.
Oh, no.
And that is that this week was Neil Miller's birthday.
Oh, jeez.
And he is now 16 years old. It's sweet and adorable.
You know what, though? That makes all of the claims that I'm a pedophile. Just you invalidated all of your claims.
I'm sorry.
Because if I'm only 16, then that's totally
it still doesn't
legal,
make
man.
It right what you do. Sorry. We won't go into it.
No, in all reality, I did have a birthday this week. And
yes.
I am a ripe 24, which is exactly half of how old Kevin Carr is.
And I'm sitting across from him in the Magical Studio of the Sky, and I don't think he's showered, and I can agree he's very ripe.
Nice.
Absolutely.
Awesome. So let's get into some movies. We've got to talk about... The period piece.
Yes. Atonement. This is a story of love and betrayal set against the backdrop of the European theater of World War II.
You ought to call the police.
You saw him?
Yes, I saw him. I know it was him.
You know it was him?
I saw him with my own eyes. I love you. Come back to me.
Now, Kevin, this also fits right into the tone of the show, which is the controversial movies, because it deals with a little bit of child molestation.
Yeah, sort of. I mean, it's in there. It's not like hard candy or something like that.
Right.
It's,
I mean, the basis of it is James McAvoy plays the gardener of this rich family, Keira Knightley. And I don't know how you say the little girl's name. Is it Saoirse Ronan?
I have no idea.
I don't know. But the little girl...
I don't read, as we apparently
found out.
Little girl,
you know... This one of their cousins gets molested, and the little girl pins it on McAvoy, and he gets sent off to jail and ends
because
up in war.
She misinterprets some love letters he wrote.
Right,
to.
Yeah, because she had a crush on him and she wanted to hurt them.
She thinks he's a pervert.
Anyways, I tell you what I liked about this movie. I thought it was presented very well, in the sense that it was a beautifully shot film, and it kind of had a little bit of a grand scale to it, especially some of the shots in the war. And I thought all the performances were good. Nothing stood out to me. Like, I didn't go, oh, this is Keira Knightley's best performance ever. But I thought they all worked.
On, let's be honest.
What?
Because she kept all her clothes on.
Well, for the most part. For I mean, she could have. I wish that the library scene would have been a lot better if
they could have shown a lot more. Let's just go. Let's go for that. The
right.
Keira Knightley fans might be a little disappointed in that.
Yeah, yeah, if that's what you're going for.
Yeah.
Because that's been all
it's
over the news.
The only reason I see the movies like this.
But either way, I thought all the performances were good enough. So overall, it was a good movie. It wasn't amazing. I think it should it should definitely get nominated for like best cinematography, you know, come Oscar time. And the costumes were good just because it's period piece.
Yeah, it's period. You always get. I mean, Marie Antoinette won last year for costumes,
and that was a terrible giant film.
Pile of poop.
Yeah. What'd you think?
Well, you know, I thought this movie was. I was surprised that I liked it. I wouldn't say it's great. It's sort of like that middle of the road thing,
right?
But it wasn't as boring as I expected it to be. Because you watch it, and it was directed by the guy who did Pride and Prejudice, and I'm rolling my eyes because my story with Pride and Prejudice. I got the award screener. I didn't actually see it in the theater. Got the award screener. I watched 20 minutes of that movie, and I said, "There's nothing I'm going to nominate or vote for this movie on at this point." So right. I just turned it off. That's how bad Pride and Prejudice was. This one, it's not that it was a Jane Austen movie, but it could have been if Jane Austen maybe had a little bit more harsher material at times.
Right, if she had a little edge.
Yeah, if she had some edge, and if she wrote at a later date, of course.
It's Jane Austen with edge.
Yeah, but I mean, it does kind of fall into that whole grand love conquers all, but very much that sweeping sort of early to mid-century melodrama. The performances were good. It was surprisingly kept my interest. I thought the music actually was really interesting because how much they used the typewriter as a musical instrument, which sounds
that was pretty
odd,
cool. I thought at first I was like, "Oh, this is going to get annoying," but then
they used it sparingly.
They didn't use it too much.
But there was something. One of the other critics, and I think it was Jason from Bullseye.com, who once said this to me, complained about how every movie now seems to have that long one take shot.
Yeah,
they had that in there, and to me that was annoying. I thought it was okay.
I enjoyed. I was like, oh, that's cool.
I mean, it was cool, but
it wasn't cool like Children of Men.
Well, no, Children of Men, but it fit in Children of Men. The problem with what I didn't like about that shot in this movie, it was like everything else was so intimate, even the war stuff was intimate, and then suddenly they have this massive grand thing with people singing and bombs going off.
Yeah, it was kind of
shooting
like
horses
weird.
And. It did kind of, it was out of place.
But I will say I'm not going to give away the ending, but the ending is very similar to like American Gangster and No Country for Old Men, where the ending, you're just kind of like, huh, at the end? We're like, I get it, but I don't get it.
I think it
kind of fizzled.
No, I didn't like the ending, and I thought it just wasn't strong necessarily on story. I just thought it went some places that I didn't expect it to go.
Right. Okay. Final grade?
Kind of rocks.
I'm going to say kind of rocks, too. Oh, we agreed. Well, we'll disagree in the next one. And we're back on Fat Guys at the Movies, and as promised in the end of that first segment, we're going to disagree on this next movie.
Which you haven't seen.
Because I haven't seen it.
You can't disagree.
But you know what? I'm boycotting it.
You're not Catholic, are you?
I am Catholic.
Are you Catholic,
but
really?
I'm not going to boycott the movie.
But are you Catholic?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm raised Catholic. My mom is very much Catholic.
Very much Catholic?
Like, she goes... Well, no,
everything
I mean...
but her fingernails are Catholic.
There's two types of Catholics. There's, like, Catholic people who will tell you they're Catholic, and then there's Catholic people who go to church.
Okay.
And the other ones, I learned this at a very young age. My mom, who listens to our show, will appreciate this, that I actually remember
this. Does she actually listen to the show?
Yes, she does.
Hi, Mom.
And they have like back pocket Catholics, which will only pull out that religious card when they need it. Like, they'll only come out and say, "I'm a Catholic," when they need to be able to say that.
When they need to hate movies like the
Right, and then
Compass
there's like,
and, the last
and there are actual Catholic people who are, you know, live their faith and go to church and all that. You know,
sort of like all the Jewish people who really don't go to temple or anything like that, but got upset at the
But you know what? If
Christ.
They want to get into Hollywood, they're like, I'm a total Jew.
Whoa, that's like the second Jewish slam you've done in the month.
Hey, wow. Well, our show's about movies. You can't.
Show's about movies.
Jerry Seinfeld, look at that. Mel Brooks. But anyways, that's just
Steven
my
Seagal,
Catholic
Michael
spiel.
Bay.
And I'm not one of those people. I mean, there are people who will get upset about the Golden Compass that don't go to church on Sunday, which I think is the bigger, the more Hippocratic thing is to get all upset about a movie because it, you know, it may or may not have atheist tones, but you don't even go to church. I mean, come on, people.
Sort of like just a person who's Indian by heritage getting upset at you know, the Cleveland Indians mascot Chief Wahoo.
Yeah, you know,
that great
leader. or like somebody who you know got upset about 300. We were talking about that in pre-show. You know, who they don't even go to.
What Catholics got killed in 300?
Oh, no, the Persians. Persians.
Oh, those Persian Catholics.
That was me switching religions here for a second. But anyways, we'll play a clip from, what's the Golden Compass
Golden Compass, it's New Line Cinema's big-budget adaptation of Paul Pullman's fantasy novel about a parallel universe where a young girl must join forces with amazing creatures to fight against an oppressive regime.
Are you familiar with the prophecies of the witches?
You think she is that child? She must be found. War is coming, Lyra.
Her loyalty will be put to a proper test.
I need to go north and fight.
We've protected her as long as we could.
You have no idea what's at stake.
And I have to correct you on one thing that you said before. You said Paul Pullman. It's Philip Pullman.
Well, you know, as we pointed out earlier in the show, this show is not about reading. It's about watching movies.
Well, what's funny
I had to look that up, and I just remembered the wrong name.
I actually looked at the board to see if I was like, did he write that wrong, or did he just like read it wrong?
That was through memory.
Sure
because,
enough, you wrote that wrong.
Well, I had to do a radio interview earlier this week, and I just remember the last name Pullman because it was Bill Pullman. Bill so at least Pullman. I didn't say Bill Pullman's fantasy nice. Novels.
Nice. Anyways, well, what did you think of Paul Pullman's
Paul Pullman's
movie adaptation?
Well, I've never read the books, obviously, because I don't know who wrote the doggone things. But you have to take there's kind of two ways to look at this. You can look at the movie whether it was a good movie, and then you can look at it about the religious controversy that's going on around it. First of all, as a movie, I liked it. It was a decent movie. The biggest problem I had with it was really convoluted. It's kind of hard to explain to somebody what it's about because
it's about daemons, right?
Well, but the daemon is their soul that exists outside their body and it takes animal form. I mean, and then they got like this thing where the universes are connected through this dust material, and there's this magisterium.
Cool
people who are overseeing everything that's supposed to apparently symbolize the Catholic Church and their dogmatic practices, and they want to control
people. And
in
the end, they kill God.
You know, that's not in there. The movie ends, and I look at, I'm sitting next to Dave Metzger, and I sit to him, I go, when did God get, did I miss that? Did I fall
it's
asleep
actually,
when
it's
God,
at the end of the third book.
Supposedly
not the first
that's,
book.
Yeah, but even then, I haven't, I've never read them, but supposedly they're toning them down in terms of the religious aspect of
right.
it. Really, this is just sort of like high fantasy. It's sort of like the Lord of the Rings, the next attempt at Lord of the Rings. I took my 6-year-old son, and he absolutely loved it. And I think that's the key. If you go in there trying to figure it out and you've not read the book, you're going to be kind of lost and your brain's going to kind of hurt. But if you can just be there watching it going, wow, this looks really, really cool, and there's giant polar bears beating on one another, this is fun. I mean, it's a
right.
fun movie, and if you can get wrapped up in the special effects and the fantasy, more power to you.
Right. I think that's true with a lot of books that are maybe controversial. We're going to talk about controversial movies in the second half of the show. If you take them for their just as a movie, they're generally pretty good movies. But it's once you start getting those politics and those religious, you know, tones to it, you start to lose your sense of entertainment. Because we talk all the time about looking at movies as forms
entertainment.
Of entertainment. And it's really not about saying anything. I mean,
and when you're trying to make that message, that actually a lot of times gets in the way. And as we're seeing with all like the Iraqi war movies that are coming out.
Right.
This is sort of, in a way, this is like the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Oh.
What were you going
to
say?
I was going to say, are you going to like equate it to Lions for Lambs or something?
No. Like the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, they toned down the religious stuff. Now, obviously, there you can see that Aslan was a, you know, allegory of Jesus. There's that's there if you want to pick it up. But it's not, you're not hitting people over the head, and they actually stayed away from the message, which is, I think, part of what made that movie so good and such a wide appeal. I think the same thing with the Golden Compass. Golden Compass has a little more to overcome simply because it's just a convoluted story because they're trying to cram like this bigger book into this 2-hour movie, which, I mean, it works well. And I guess if you know what's going on before you go, but I knew nothing and I'm just like, whoa, I'm lost.
Right. Oh, polar bears.
But
in
polar,
armor.
Yeah. I'm like, this was my experience. I'm watching the movie. I'm like, okay, trying to follow. I'm kind of lost. Ooh, Nicole Kidman looks kind of hot. Polar bears beating each other up. Awesome. There you go.
Nice.
That's my general.
A quick and very insightful look into the mind of Kevin Carr while he's
watching
a movie.
That's how I work when I see movies.
While we're recording the show, it's like, oh, we're talk about topic. Ooh, cheese.
Yeah, cheese. Ooh, cookies. That actually happened last episode.
Yeah.
I was distracted with cookies.
Thankfully for that, or else Kristen would have never been able to have a chance to talk because you just don't. Blah, 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 blah.
She's got to learn. It's like eating Thanksgiving
dinner.
Give us
your grade.
I'm going to say kind of rocks simply because of the convolution factor.
All right, cool.
And what's your grade?
I didn't see the movie.
So we have to disagree.
Yes. Yes, I win. We're going to a break. We'll be back.
Flowers lonely, I burn out slowly like a cigarette. But you kiss me.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with the special Neil Miller birthday show.
I'm sorry, I can't take you seriously when you come back all excited like that.
I'm just fighting against my anger. I'm just angry tonight. I'm in a very bad mood.
What will make you more angry is what happened at the box office.
I have a question before we get into box office. Why do they make HD DVD cases smaller than
I don't know.
DVD
and
cases?
You know what I've been noticing?
It doesn't fit on those racks.
They're gonna start falling off.
Yeah.
But I will say I can get more HD DVDs in one part of the rack than.
But see, that's
I could
what
get
they did
DVDs.
With the VHS, and then you could get more DVDs in the VHS things.
Right.
And
it's,
then
it is a conspiracy to make you buy more furniture.
That's right.
But the only problem is they don't have any HD DVD furniture
yet.
It's
not yet.
So
because not enough people own enough
I
HD.
I don't
They've
know.
Only released what like a couple dozen HD DVDs
yeah,
total.
There's, I don't know, 500 or 600 titles out.
Really?
Maybe five.
500 titles?
I don't know.
Seriously?
I was gonna actually buy Battlestar Galactica Razor, but after you told me that, I'd be completely confused.
Well, no, you
I
can buy
it.
Season 1 and 2 on DVD on HD, I think. Or at least
yeah, I was gonna
one.
Buy it on. I was gonna buy Razor on HD. Because I was like, oh, that'd be cool.
Buy it and then watch it after you watch season 1 and 2 on HD. Because they got season, I don't know if season 2 is available.
Yeah, but that's
I know season
like
one.
$400 with the DVDs.
Dude, you.
And.
You always buy that many DVDs.
Yeah. No.
You like buy like.
See all those HD DVDs? I didn't pay for those.
You didn't pay? You just stole them?
I stole them.
You stole
from
them from a retail outlet.
Anyways, I will say I did. I got two HD DVDs this week. I got Anchorman and Old School.
Because you really need to see
right.
Will Ferrell's ass running away in HD.
But here's my thing is, there are some titles that it's like, why did you choose to release these now on HD? There's no point to it.
Well, you know what I can't wait for? Because this is coming, and you know it. At some point, they're going to be like, they're going to release, like, well, something like, say, since it's Christmas time, It's a Wonderful Life on HD.
Right, and it's just going to look like crap.
Like, who cares? It's
why do
like
I
want
to watch
it
in
HD? I mean, I can understand if they release like Gone with the Wind in
right.
HD because
and they,
that's...
Like, remastered it for HD or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, and it's a cinematic movie.
Right.
Or like Wizard of Oz or something right. like that. But they'll be like, let's... The Topper's going to be on HD DVD.
I will say, I watched National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, and yeah. it was cool in HD. Like...
Well, it's cool because it doesn't look like crap on your HD
right.
player. Because a regular DVD looks like crap on your DVD.
No, not really. Not the player I got. I got the good one that doesn't. It upconverts.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't buy the one that they sell for $200 online that like a million people bought that is crap. But I got the good
well, you,
one.
Do you think you're going to whisper that?
I'm
going to
offend everybody who bought. I know one of our critic friends, Bill Clark, bought one of those.
Well, but he didn't like Juno.
That's true.
We're going to have him
so
on the show.
That's bad karma.
We're going to have him on the show, and he'll defend his decision to not like
right.
Juno.
We actually are going to make copies of our screeners and send him 6 more so that he can watch one every day.
That's
until
right.
he likes the movie.
He needs more.
Anywho.
I have 2 copies of it, and I'm pretty sure that he has 2 copies of it as
right.
well.
Right. Anywho, so we're going to talk about the box office. This is something that will make you even angrier, and I want to start with the top 5, which Awake finished 5th, which I believe we predicted
was
last
week. Was it
5th
or 4th?
It was 5th. Hitman okay. was 4th.
Okay.
This Christmas, still hanging strong at number
3.
Why
is that supposed to make me mad?
Because you were the one who had to do a push-up.
I don't have to do a push-up now.
No.
I just have to do a push-up. What did I say? Alien versus Predator has to make more than what?
Sweeney Todd?
No. Was it this Christmas I said
I don't
Alien
know.
Versus Predator has to make better than?
I don't know.
Or Awake, I forget.
I don't know.
Or The Mist.
The Mist.
I think it was The
oh,
Mist.
Oh, okay. Beowulf and Enchanted.
Which,
up,
speaking
up
of
top 5.
The Mist, that didn't even make the top 10, did it?
No. Oh, my God. I didn't even look.
It tanked.
Are you serious?
Well, it came into the top 10 at like 8 or 9.
Well, it's not listed here at all. Yeah, it's not on the list at all.
Wow. Wow.
No, I'm sorry, 8th.
Was it 8th? Did it actually make it in
I started looking at like 10.
Obviously, Neil Miller doesn't read all that much either. Do you notice how I now call you Neil Miller? It's like in Heroes. Do you ever notice that whenever somebody refers to Mila Ventimiglia's character, it's
Peter Petrelli?
Peter Petrelli.
Yeah.
They'll like talk to his mother and be like, have you seen Peter Petrelli around? And did you watch this week's episode?
No, I haven't seen any.
Did you see last week's episode? When was the last time?
I saw like the third or fourth episode.
There's a scene where a character sees him and looks at him and goes, Peter Petrelli. And my wife and I both just cheered because it's hysterical. Because it's not just, you know, because if they saw Claire, it'd be like, Claire. It wouldn't be Claire Bennett or, you know,
whatever. Or horn-rimmed glasses guy.
Yeah. Noah.
Which we didn't even know his first name in the whole thing.
He was actually originally called just HG or HRG.
Yeah, horn-rimmed glasses. Script. Anyways, so this week,
what are we talking about?
We're talking about the box office. And this week, the
Golden... Taking out my frustrations by being random.
You are. The Golden Compass is in 3,528 theaters.
Which is 3,500-ish more than Atonement.
I'm trying. Atonement is in 32.
32. Wow. So the Golden Compass is in more than 100 times as many theaters.
Yes.
Than Atonement.
Then, yeah. Okay. So really the question this week, Kevin Carr, guru of the box office, who's never right for some reason.
Wait a minute. I pretty much predicted what it would be this weekend. I said it was going to be.
How much money do you think the Golden Compass is going to make boycotted
by
the Catholic
League? Let me look at my cheat site. Hold on a second. I'm typing it in. www.kevinscheatsite.com.
You know, now that we've said that on the radio, we have to go and buy that.
It's going to make $33 million according to boxofficereport.com.
Conan O'Brien had to buy like manatee. It was like lovelymanatee.com.
Why did he?
Because
have
he
to?
Said it on the air, and there's this thing, SFCC thing. If you say a website that doesn't exist, you have to actually. Then buy.
Well, this isn't going to air. This is going to be on the internet.
Oh,
this is
cool.
Not airing on the actual radio.
Cool.
So I can say stuff like douchebag.
Right.
Which leads us into
our new segment, which we're going to be doing on our internet only segments. Our new feature, douchebag of the week, where we feature a.
Do you think it'd be better to say douchebag of the week or just douche of the week?
I think douchebag of the week is because it's where the douche goes.
When you're done with it.
When you're done with it.
Who keeps that?
I don't
know. That's what I want to know. Dude, who really has
I don't
one?
Think this is a discussion we should get into. Because now, like, work? Our producer, Richard, is going to get in
he's
on gonna, it. He's going to be like, actually, I have this video
he's got
on
the
website.
Where they douche with somebody else's vomit.
Yeah. It's called twogirlsonedouchebag.com. We are not doing that.
Should I send this to KGAV?
Yeah, let's send this part to the radio. We will be off the air faster than Don Imus. All right, so our douchebag of the week.
Can we call it Nappy Headed Hoe of the Week? Since you mentioned Don Imus.
No. Stop getting off topic here. Douchebag of the week this week is Katherine Heigl because she went into Vanity Fair, did an interview, did a pictorial set, which I thought the pictures from that Vanity Fair thing, not that impressive.
They were sort of,
she
yeah,
needed
they
to be
like
more
that.
Nude.
Yeah, she needed to be a little more naked.
And she said something along the lines of she thought, that the script for Knocked Up, the story in Knocked Up was a little sexist, and that women were being portrayed as, she used the word wenches.
Is that what she said?
And she said that she had trouble with it.
Yes.
And I guess the point that everyone online, the discussion that occurred was, wow, she really had a whole lot of trouble making her price tag go from $600,000 before Knocked Up per movie to $3 million per movie now.
Can I nominate a new douchebag of the week? Whoever decided to give her $6 million to do 27 dresses. That's my...
Hold on, I'll look up the producer. Who's the producer of 27 dresses?
Now, while you're doing it, can I read what I wrote in the comment section on this story?
Yes.
I'm not going to read anyone else's because I'm a complete diva and want to know my myself. It starts off by saying, Neil, quit being such a girl, to whatever comment you did. It said, Katherine Heigl is a whore for the entertainment industry. She's just showing her diva nature. Big surprise. Let's face it, no one saw Knocked Up because of her. And how pathetic is it that the main poster and DVD cover art didn't feature the TV star hot girl, but rather the funky mug of a pretty much then unknown Seth Rogen. And I predict that 27 Dresses will do at least as better, if not better, than her tour de force of acting in Zizek's Road. I think her Grey's Anatomy showrunner Shonda Rhimes is rubbing off on her, hating on men who like good-looking women. Just wait until the show ends and the regular Hollywood producers start telling her to lose some weight and get those Kirsten Dunst teeth of hers fixed. And the funniest part, no one complained about what I wrote.
Right. Everybody was like, yeah, Kevin Carr.
Yeah, it's just kind of ended discussion, people. Even Josh Ratty, who wrote the article, he's not like, Kevin, you're an idiot.
Right, because usually he just likes to...
He hates me. He loves to hate on me. But,
so, anyways, yeah. the sub-douchebag of the week, Jonathan Glickman, the producer at Fox 2000, for I guess, selecting her...
27 dresses. Have you seen the trailer for this?
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
This looks terrible. And you know, you look like an alien with those headsets on your phone. You really do. You look like you got eyes coming out of the side of your head.
Cool. I like it.
I'm being random again.
We'll take pictures. So, but here, the way I defended her is like, they could have taken that out of context. You know, they could have, you know, coaxed it out of her, but that's still dumb for her to say that. I mean, why would you just, I mean, Judd Apatow is like the king of Hollywood right now. Why?
He's like what J.J. Abrams was 2 years ago.
Right. If you are going to piss on someone, don't piss on Judd Apatow. He is in control of the world of comedy right now. Mm-hmm. And that just a bad, bad move.
Well, and the thing I thought that was, I'm going to throw some love here at Josh, who wrote this article. He makes a comment that she says, that one of her lines was, oh gosh, she says, I'm playing such a bitch. Why is she being such a killjoy? Refers to herself as both the character and her real self, kind of like right. In one sentence, which is kind of a no-no for. I mean, there is a line that actors draw, which basically shows that she's not really an actor. I mean, she doesn't. Wow. She's there. I mean, she's a pretty face. But here's the thing, and this is just gonna get me reams of hate mail if people care. Call me 388-TREK. 614 area code, please. But the thing with she's a pretty face, but let's face it, she's a little heavy, and that's fine. I'm not knocking her for that.
This is fat guys at
this
the
is
movies.
Fat guys at the movies. I mean, for crying out loud, I have nowhere to talk.
We love big girls too.
The entertainment industry is vicious on women that are overweight. Now, if you look at the show Grey's Anatomy,
if Kathy Najimy said anything like this, she'd be gone.
Well, the thing is, the show Grey's Anatomy is run by a woman named Shonda Rhimes, who I'm sure is a nice person, but she's not all that attractive and she's kind of chubby. And if you look at her show this year and Private Practice, there's been episode after episode of like hating on pretty girls. They had one episode of Private Practice where they're basically the thesis was all strippers are whores, which isn't really true. I mean, there's some there are. But hey, come
Kevin
on.
Carr, the expert.
We'll do a scientific
experiment. We'll send in money
and I'll they'll fund my experiment. But then she had one episode where there was a bus crash and it was like the cheerleaders were going to get, you know, were injured, and it was just basically how awful cheerleaders are and how awful pretty girls are
and how all the cheerleaders deserve to die.
Well, yeah, I mean,
that's a thesis I just cannot support.
Then if you look at the cast of Grey's Anatomy, Ellen Pompeo would never be cast in Grey's Anatomy if they cast it today, because all the women that the main women, I mean, you look at like Chandra Wilson, you got Katherine Heigl, you got Sarah Ramirez, they're all bigger women. And that's great. And they're great actors, except Katherine Heigl. I mean, I love Sarah Ramirez, and I think Chandra Wilson is probably one of the best actors on that show. But I think because of Shonda Rhimes is who she is, it's sort of blocking any sort of criticism to them. Mm-hmm. But you kind of send them out into the real world where Hollywood then takes pictures of you in your bathing suit and your lardy butt on the beach.
Right.
Suddenly, Katherine Heigl, when she's off of Grey's Anatomy, she's going to be having an eating disorder. And she'll be like, oh, isn't it terrible? Oh, please.
I don't have anything to say in response to that. Sorry.
And she you needs lost to get, me. She needs to get braces.
All right. With that, on our runner-up, we have a runner-up this week. Go ahead. This one's yours.
Oh, yeah. I went to a screening earlier this week, and you know me. I hate people who are in the audience that are just
people.
I hate people in general, but then you have to go to a movie theater, and they're in the audience, and people are just stupid, like the people who bring kids in the movie. And the kid's crying, and it's like they're going to see an R-rated movie, and they've got a child. Or people who, like, I heard one woman on her cell phone, answers the phone, is like, yeah, and talking full voice, going, yeah, no, I'm at a movie. No, I can't talk now. I'm at a movie. I'll call you back. I'm like, that's what voicemail's for. It's not even like, yeah, I'm at a movie. No, give him 10 cc's of insulin. Okay, see you later. No, it wasn't anything like that. It was just, no, I'm at a movie. But there was somebody sitting in the audience who had their Bluetooth headset on the whole time the movie was going. And I think she was talking at one point, but the point is it blinks blue through the whole damn movie. And this woman is so – I'm like, she's – why does she need to have a blue – first of all, why do you need to have your cell phone on in a movie? It's an hour and a half long. It was a short movie. And second of all, why do you need a Bluetooth? Are you doing something else while you're at this movie? You need to be able to be texting somebody while you're talking.
Right. You're editing your podcast on your phone.
Exactly. So this woman, whoever she is, who went to the Arena Grand in Columbus, Ohio, you're a douchebag.
Fair enough. With that, we are headed to a break. We'll be back for our second half of the show.
And we'll be naked.
We're going to talk about controversial religious movies. It can only go downhill from here.
We were just talking off the air about some crazy entertainment stories, and our producer Richard asked about why Kiefer Sutherland went going to jail for 48 days. And it's because of I think drunk driving or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, he's probably the smartest of the drunk driving celebrities because he timed this out so that he's going to be in jail during the writer's strike.
Right.
So pretty much when it's resolved, he can just go hop right on the set of 24 and start shooting again.
Yeah, so... good job, Kiefer.
So the moral of the story is, if you're going to drink and drive, do it right before a pending industry strike.
Right, so that you don't lose any work time.
Bingo. Lindsay Lohan, take note.
Well, Lindsay Lohan doesn't have to worry about work anyway. She's not in anything right now.
Except rehab.
So, but speaking of things that are controversial.
Yes.
Such as drunk driving. We're going to talk about the top 10... most controversial religious movies of all time. And
yes.
And these are not, I mean, they're not all like really religious films. They're just controversial because of certain, they're things that people who are religious get pissed off about.
Yeah, well, and the thing is, they had to have actually been controversial at the time of their release.
Right.
And by controversial.
Or prior to their release.
They need to be movies that there were news stories about prior to their release or right around their release that actually made news because of the controversy, not because, you know,
right,
Kiefer Sutherland was getting a drunk driving record or something like that.
Exactly. So we'll start at number 10. You can do number 10.
It's a good place to start. Let's start at number 7. We're starting at number 7. We're just going to do out of order in random order.
Well, I'll let you start because I want number 9. Number 9.
You're the one who wanted this on the list. You do number 10.
All right, number
10. You can do number 10 and 9 then.
Okay, number 10 is The Exorcist.
Okay.
Because there is a scene where... there's some self-love with a crucifix.
This is the internet only. You could actually call it the crucifix masturbation scene. That's what it's referred to.
Yes. And
in all the Catholic
some call-outs, some shout-outs to Jesus.
Some shout-outs. So. Let me give a shout-out to my friend Jesus. Plop.
So it was just that part was controversial. I know there were people that didn't go see it because of that.
There's a website called Two Girls One Crucifix. I think is what it's what it's called or something like that. We're derailed and we're number 10. We haven't even gotten to like 5.
We are never going to get through this list. Anyways, number 9 is Battlefield Earth. The religion we're talking about is Scientology. And
I think, isn't this, they have a masturbation scene with
L. Ron Hubbard's book. Wow.
Let L. Ron Hubbard plop.
It was the paperback rolled up.
Oh, it's a thick book. I don't think you could roll it up for that purpose.
All right, fine. Anyway, but this is before the Tom Cruise was a psycho Scientologist thing. This is back when it was just John Travolta with a camera.
John Travolta was a psycho and Kelly Preston, who's totally hot.
And a psycho.
But nuts.
So, I mean, if you really need to know anything about Scientology, just go watch the South Park episode. That'll pretty much explain it for you. Oh, geez. That's number 9.
Okay, can I go to number 8?
Yes.
Monty Python's Life of Brian, which is just controversial because it's just, I think, just blatantly blasphemous at parts. Its purpose is to be blasphemous because if you don't know anything about it,
it's pretty much like the point of this show.
It's about a guy who accidentally swerves into Christ's position and getting strung up on the cross. And Christ just goes on being himself.
Oh, geez.
He accidentally gets persecuted and crucified. And it just really offended a lot of religious people because it doesn't take Christ too seriously in this. And although I just have to think that, you know, God and Jesus are up there with a big bowl of popcorn laughing their butts off at this movie.
Right. Hopefully they have a sense of humor.
If they have butts in heaven.
We're going
to butts
hell.
In heaven?
I don't know.
Do you have butts in heaven? Producer Richard wants to know for personal reasons.
The question is, do they have the internet in heaven? Hopefully they don't.
Hopefully not, because they're listening to this. Yeah. We're not going.
That's anyways, number 7 is this week's release, The Golden Compass, because yes. I'm not really sure why everybody's all upset about this movie.
Well, what's funny is the Catholic League's against the movie, but it just came out, and I saw this on IMDb. Let me just pull up this story here. The Catholic bishops... it's called the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. They actually gave the movie a thumbs up.
which just pretty much explains the Catholic Church right there.
Wow. So you can say that because
you're Catholic. The Catholic League, who are these right-wing nut jobs, are like, don't go see this movie. The actual church is like, nah, it was pretty good. I mean, we like polar bears in armor.
Although there's a scene in the polar bear... The big polar bear fight where it suddenly goes from being just this sort of like nice little fantasy movie to like this like 10 seconds of like R-rated violence. And nice. I was like, wow, how'd that happen? It was really cool.
That's pretty awesome.
But the thing that's so funny about the Golden Compass is, as I understand it, the Catholic League's not necessarily upset with the movie. They're worried that the movie is going to cause kids to go read the book,
which like
is then
going
to read
God.
Them to read the whole trilogy and eventually say, hey, God's dead.
Right.
Word!
It's okay to kill God because then somebody else can be God. But here's what I understand.
Dope.
About this. Somebody made this argument on the site where they don't actually kill God, but like some bad dude came in and took God's place, and then they kill the bad dude who's playing God.
As I understood from what I've read, because I haven't read the book, I just read about it on the internet because I don't have time to read books.
Because I believe everything I read on the internet.
Well, yeah,
so
but
this
supposedly
is
this is Wikipedia, so it has some sort of level of credibility. Not that, although whatever, but no, as I understand it, the whole thing is it's not even God as much as it's that the magisterium represents the Catholic Church,
right?
And it's just outdated dogma.
Catholic Church. Pretty much like that anyways, so they just need to get over themselves.
There you go.
Anyways, on to number 6.
That would be The Da Vinci Code from last year, which wasn't that great of a movie, but caused all this controversy to imply
again,
the Virgin Mary had another kid. And that Jesus got it on at some point.
Yeah, well, I guess the point is that the Catholic Church just doesn't like to be picked on.
And the Catholic Church doesn't like people having sex, especially if it's like saints.
Right, they're like that kid at school who's like mom is the lunch lady, and if you pick on him on the playground, they go get the lunch lady, and they're like, you get kicked off the playground. That's the Catholic Church right there.
The Catholic Church does not have hairnets and smell of soup. Say what you want to, but I will defend them. They don't have those. They don't have those like sausage fingers that lunch ladies
sausage
have.
Sausage fingers, nice. All right, number 5 is Jonah, a VeggieTales movie, which is very controversial.
Yes, just because
vegetables cannot represent the prophets.
Shame on the vegetables.
Number 4,
priest, gay priest, caused him to move from Miramax to. Well, was that actually released by Miramax? I can't remember whether what prep I did for this. It was a big controversy because it was going to be a Miramax movie, and I think they released it through either Artisan or Lionsgate. At some point, somebody bought whoever.
Right.
But it was going to be about gay priests, which caused all this hubbub, and then no one went and saw it. So that's actually the history of a lot of these controversial movies. Everyone's like, oh, my God, this is terrible. Don't see it. No one sees it, not because it's controversial, but they just don't see it because who cares?
Nice.
Gay priest. We've heard that before.
Anyways.
We're offending everybody in this segment.
What are we even on? Oh, number three, Passion of the Christ.
Yes.
What's not controversial about this
movie? The Jews did it. What else is there to say? As you would say, the Jews in Hollywood.
And I guess what got people offended about this movie is that it was so detailed, I guess, is that it showed what happened. And I'm like, all right, so take this for what it is. If you're one of those right-wing Christian people who's like, we follow the Bible word for word, this is what happened. That's what happened.
Well, yeah.
I'm sorry, but that's what the Bible's. I went to Sunday school. That's what it says. Yeah. He got beat.
Yeah, yeah.
And it hurt, and it was bad, and he got crucified, and now you're offended because it's too, you know, gory. Well, get out of here.
The thing that's so stupid about it was, well, the big controversy that also came out of it was the whole it was anti-Semitic, mm-hmm. and it was like, oh, they're saying Jews killed Jesus. Well, it's not that Jews as a people killed Jesus. The Jewish power structure, as it was at the time, was the one in power in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
So they're the ones who got to make the decisions. Now, you can sit there and say Buddhists killed Jesus, but Buddhists had nothing to do with Jerusalem 2,000 years ago.
Right.
You know, they were out doing Buddhist things over somewhere else. But the whole point
they're
is...
doing whatever them Buddhists do.
Buddhists do. The whole point is... This would be like saying that the Christians caused the Holocaust because, as I understand it, Nazis... were a Christian, weren't they?
Something like that.
But the point is they had a religion of but it's not, you know, or saying people who drink Coca-Cola shoot people with guns. Well, I'm sure there are a lot of people that shoot people with guns that might drink Coca-Cola, but that doesn't mean Coca-Cola drinkers shoot guns and kill people as a
right.
rule. I didn't make that argument as well as I thought I could.
I don't even
Number
know.
Two.
Number two is
Dogma.
Dogma. Kevin Smith. That, you know, once again, the Catholics just getting upset because somebody you know, had a little bit of a different take. I actually, if you really watch,
do you worship the Buddy Christ?
I have one.
You do. Okay.
If you really watch Dogma and you listen to Kevin Smith talk about it, it's not anti-Catholic, but it does poke fun. You know, if you, I don't.
It's anti-establishment. Really,
it was anti-establishment, but did you what? You're not Catholic, are you? Are you?
Would it change what you're going to say?
No. I'm just curious.
No, I'm not.
If you grew up Catholic...
I hate Catholics,
and
especially people who don't really practice it, like you, Neil Miller.
If you grew up Catholic and you watch Dogma and you really start to think about it, there are... I mean, that stuff is true to a certain extent. I mean, yeah, it's sensationalized. Like, and there's no poop monster, but there are people in the Catholic Church who are really seriously way out there who really think... you know, are crazy like that, who think they could open up a portal to heaven. And, you know, it's just, I mean, there, any religion you get to, and this is kind of that, it is such a deeper issue there. Any religion, you're going to have crazy people and normal people, you know? You know,
I will give you that.
Crazy people, you know, you look at the Muslim religion, and crazy people bomb things.
There is no crazy, non-crazy there's no people. Crazy Muslims in this world, trust me.
I mean,
they're nuts.
They're extreme people in every religion. And I think at least, you know, I don't know. There's a scene with Chris Rock where he talks about, you know, how he's the 13th apostle. And then he's like, God isn't mad about organized religion. He's just mad at what happened, what kind of shit gets carried out in his name. And yeah. I think that's the thing. That's the whole point of the movie is some people use religion for things they shouldn't
see,
use it
I
for.
Wish I was in a position where I could use religion to get what I wanted. You know, wouldn't it be awesome?
Jesus wants strip clubs to be free.
That's right. You know, Jesus wants to repeal that Ohio law where you can't touch in strip clubs. In fact, Jesus wants a requirement that can touch in strip clubs. In fact, Jesus wants a requirement that I get escorted to them all the time. That would be so cool. If I could just declare that, how do you get in those roles? I mean, how do you get to the point where you can
become that
these
guy?
How do
you, like, because Jesus said it's okay.
You look at history,
so let's
people
do
this sort of thing. It's like Jesus says you must, you know, that's like the whole Mormon, the John Smith thing that there were talks
right.
There were people that used
said,
that.
God said we need to kill these people.
Yes, God said, God
Why
said.
Why can't we use that for more fun stuff?
Lap dances for Kevin every day. From people I choose. You know what I mean? I don't want like lap dances from like Rosie O'Donnell and Sandra Bernhardt or anything
shows
like that.
Them lap dances. Wow.
Or I could say, you know, God wants me to have another slice of pie.
Right.
Pumpkin pie, chocolate pie.
But that, I think that was the whole point of Dogma. And I think that the people who would protest that just either they don't have a sense of humor or they just didn't get it.
You know, the funniest part about Dogma is the fact that Kevin Smith protested his own movie.
Which was awesome. If you watch the, I think it was An Evening with Kevin Smith, where he talks about going and picketing his own movie.
Yes.
That's it. He gets it. He has a sense of humor about it. Why can't we just leave it at that?
And what's funny is Dogma is not my favorite movie of his for two reasons. First of all, to me, and I know that a lot of people, it was innovative and stuff, but to me, it was stuff I'd heard so many times before. It was every drunken late night dorm room conversation of, yeah, what if Jesus was black? You know, I mean, that whole right. thing. But also, I was more offended at the fact that God was a retard in the movie. Because he was this guy who couldn't talk, who played skee ball, who got his ass beat like a bitch, and then turned into Alanis Morissette, who like was doing handstands. What the hell was God smoking in this movie is what I want to know.
God was a pothead.
Somehow God like came off worse than Jason Mewes in this movie. I don't know why. Are we completely derailed yet?
Oh, my God. We're never going to get another interview with Kevin Smith again.
No, we are. Damn it, Kevin. Call me. We love you.
Anyways, number one, finally. Go ahead.
Super Bad is number one. No. It's The Last Temptation of Christ caused the most controversy, which is funny because it pissed off all the Christians, yet it was by Salman Rushdie who pissed off all the Muslims. So this guy, he keeps no one happy in this movie. But, yeah, it was... probably one of the most notable
ones. He married the girl who's the host.
The hot girl from what?
Which pissed off everybody else.
Yeah, because like, have you seen Salman Rushdie?
Yeah.
He looks like a turd that got stepped on. But at least he has straight teeth. I'd like Catherine Heigl.
And the honorable mention, I actually kind of fought for this one, Birth of a Nation. Not because it's not controversial. Like, religious people weren't upset, but...
No one was upset when it came out because it was so long ago.
Right. The controversial part about this movie
the
is
the black
that,
people of the day didn't have a voice to like complain. They were just like, okay, just don't kill me.
It depicts the KKK as doing all of their work. It depicts them, first of all, being right, which at this point we all know that they weren't.
Yeah.
And it depicts them also of doing, you know, they believe that they were doing the work of God by eliminating black people off the face of the earth. And obviously,
well,
that's wrong.
Portrayed black people as these like sniveling, you know, perverts, which we know that's not the way black people
are.
Because
close.
Look at me, I'm not black, and I just went on this big tirade about how I think God should let me into all the strip clubs and get lap dances for free. So obviously, it's not just the black people who are perverts; it's me as well.
This segment is over. We're going to break. We'll be back. And we're back, guys, at the movies. We are on the radio.
Which are the only people that are still listening to us, because those on the internet have turned us off.
Yes, if you would like...
how offensive
we actually, here's the deal. If you would like to be offended, go to fatguysthemovies.com and listen to the full version of episode 42. And I assure you, you will no longer want to listen to our show after that last segment.
We promise we will turn everybody away, all creeds, colors,
nations. If we worked for CBS, we would be so fired right now.
Yeah. We would be so Dan Rathered.
We would be
Katie Couric,
as they
out.
Call it, we would be Don Imust.
Yes, that's right.
Anyways, moving on to our sound off segment. Our sweet sound effect.
I don't
there.
Have any
what
sound
can
effects.
You say?
That's all I have.
Anyways, so first up on our list is the Speed Racer trailer, which we just saw. Just came out right before the weekend. And some thoughts. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts on the Speed Racer trailer is I'm impressed with how they stuck with the anime style of it, but it sort of induces the sensation of eating 17 pounds of candy corn and chugging 2 gallons of Sprite.
I was going to say something more along the lines of it looks like a movie best served with acid.
Yeah.
Like, take a bunch of acid, go see this movie, It's really cool.
It looks cool, but I don't know if I can take 90 minutes of it. And it better be 90. Could you imagine if this comes out, it'll be like, it's 2 hours and 25 minutes.
And we'll be like, yeah, we're not going to see it. I don't care if it looks cool. Just put the first 5 minutes on the internet and we're good.
Yeah, it's just, wow, you're going to need
One of the things that
I dare you to sleep through this movie.
One of my initial reactions that I got from a colleague was, it looks like The Matrix, but with cars. And it's kind of like The Matrix.
That's right,
sure,
the cars kind of like do bullet time.
It's from the Wachowskis, which they're not the Wachowski brothers anymore. It's just the Wachowskis.
The Wachowski siblings.
The siblings.
You're safe with that.
Yes. And it has that cool aspect of it. And they always said that they wanted to do something. Whenever they make a movie, they want to do something original and something that is really spectacular. And I think one of the cool things about this movie is the fact that they are shooting it with this camera that is what they call full focus, and it focuses the foreground and the background.
I just thought of something really funny, but I can't say it on the radio.
I was like, why are you laughing at me?
It's two Wachowskis, one... Well, let's go.
One beverage holder.
Whoa! Well, no, it's something else that there's only one up with them. Anyway, to the technical mumbo jumbo.
Camera, what's cool about it is if you think about a comic book or a cartoon, it's the foreground and the background are both in focus. Mm-hmm. The movie's going to be the same way, which I think is very awesome. And it'll be very cool to see. We saw a little bit of it in the trailer, but not enough. There you have it.
I think it's going to look super cool. But I don't know whether I'm going to be able to stand it for 90 minutes. It's like, shoot 'em up. I was just like, okay, I'm done.
Right. You're done after, minutes. Anyways, the second one is Ray Stevenson, the first picture from Punisher Warzone, which is the follow-up to The Punisher, but it's also a series reboot. First picture is out, and is it me, or does he look a little bit like Steven Seagal?
I would say he's half the man of Steven Seagal.
Literally half the man.
Yeah, because if it was Steven Seagal, he wouldn't just be holding a gun, he'd be holding a ham, like a whole ham hock, and chewing on it as he's shooting.
I hope Steven Seagal is not from Wyoming or something.
Who cares?
We're going to offend them, too.
He's a fat guy, too. He should fit right into the show.
But I tell you, I liked the Tom Jane version of The Punisher, not because I've met Tom Jane and, like...
Tom Jane.
Worship Tom
you
Jane.
You want to have Tom Jane's
But
movie.
I enjoyed that film, despite John Travolta. And I don't think they can do better than that.
You pretty much...
But we'll see.
...did a good job. They pretty much did a good job with The Punisher.
Right. So. The next one is Will Ferrell. New trailer is out for Semi-Pro, his basketball movie, with his huge afro.
Yes.
What are your thoughts? We just watched that.
It looks funny. I'm excited to see it. It looks like it's going to be Anchorman on the basketball court.
And I'll tell you what I like, and we talked about this earlier, is the reason I liked Anchorman above all of the other Will Ferrell movies that have come out in the last few years is that it is Will Ferrell being absorbed into a character. It's not just Will Ferrell running down the street naked.
Did you like Elf?
No.
Well, that was exactly
Will Ferrell. Well, I liked Elf. I thought Elf was funny, but I think Anchorman is... If you watch the special features on the DVD, he has the ability to just become Ron Burgundy. And it's
I think he wants
so
to
hilarious.
Be Ron Burgundy.
I think that... truly do. So I think...
I'd like to be
I think,
Ron Burgundy.
Yeah, Jackie Moon, this afro-haired singer turned amateur basketball player, is another one of those characters. And I think it's it looks like it's going to be at least funny. Will Ferrell, as much as I keep saying, eventually it's going to run out. All of him being very funny is going to run out. He still continues to impress.
When Will Ferrell makes the movie Ewok Love, you know he's reached the end of his rope. I'm just throwing that out there.
Nice.
So there's a picture of an Ewok behind you. And I had this picture of Wicket W. Warwick and Will Ferrell getting it on, and I had to bring it out there for somebody to listen to.
Wow. Moving along, on my list was the Katherine Heigl thing, but we already...
Go to the internet and listen.
We talked about that in the internet segment. Katherine Heigl just made stupid comments.
And she's got bad teeth.
And she has Kirsten Dunst.
Moved to England already.
I also wanted to mention that I picked up the DVD for Superbad this week, and I
was it super
very
bad?
Impressed. It was very super bad.
What does it mean to be super bad?
Not only was Superbad a great movie, a very funny, probably one of the best comedies of the year, and it was juvenile and it was depraved and it was fantastic.
Okay,
but the special
features—those are your two requirements to be fantastic.
Yes.
That's mine too, but that's so what I look for in a woman.
What I really loved about the DVD, and I'm going to say this is probably my favorite standard DVD release. I know we talked on a few shows ago about how I love Transformers in HD.
Transformers.
This is the best regular DVD, or maybe best Blu-ray, I don't know. Because the special features are just fantastic. Dude,
but my question, would you need Superbad in HD?
You really wouldn't.
A Blu-ray version.
Unless there's
of
more special features.
Okay, fine. But I mean, do you need to see Jonah Hill in HD?
Not really. Not particularly. But I just thought the special features are fantastic. If you haven't bought it, go out and get it. Make sure you get the one with two discs, because the second disc is awesome. So the last one, Don Imus is back on the air. Are you even surprised by this?
Well, no, he's still an idiot.
Definitely still an idiot.
And you know why I am surprised? That he still has an audience. Not because I think the racist comment, which really, it was just him being stupid, not really racist as much as, does anyone still like him? Is anyone still find him funny?
Apparently. Allegedly. But we always ask that question about ourselves. We shall be back to wrap you up. And we're wrapping you up here on Fat Guys at the Movies, another showdown, and our listenership continues
again,
to get smaller.
We don't have readers, and we've proved we don't throughout even have this readers entire in the show. Studio. Well, yeah, we don't read.
Anywho, let's wrap up our reviews. We only reviewed two films this week, Atonement, which sadly we agreed on.
Surprisingly, kind of rocked.
Kind of rocks, definitely.
Could have gotten a full-on rock if there was just complete nudity from
Curtis. Or even the swell of a breast would have been nice.
Well, she doesn't have much to
I'm okay
swell
with.
Though. That's the thing.
Or like the side of the, like a naked side of the body.
I understand what you're saying. I'm well aware of what the female anatomy can do.
Keira Knightley just, I mean, the pond scene. She needed to come out of the pond completely naked.
Yeah, she was wearing white, and she comes out, and she's like, and you can't see through anything.
Right.
What is the point
of
that?
It was like, what are we making, a G movie here?
Come on, it was rated R anyways.
All right.
Because they had a song with swear words in it.
Well, yeah. It was significant use of probably one of the worst words you could say.
Well,
copious
yeah.
amounts
but
of
that was typed.
That,
well, that was funny. Is that was typed. But, like, the rest
no
of the
No one ever
movie,
said it.
I'm like, why is this movie rated R? And then suddenly we get to the war, and this guy's... And it's not even wartime stuff as much as this guy's walking through a field just complaining about the French.
Right.
And he's using... Just swearing profusely. And I'm right. like, oh, that's where the R rating...
And the second movie that we reviewed, well, you reviewed, was The Golden Compass.
Which kind of rocked.
Kind of rocked as well. We're not steering you away from anything this week. Go see movies.
Yeah. Stay away from Awake, though, because I did go check that one out.
It was pretty bad.
Well, you know what, though? It kept my attention, at least.
Right.
It was like a minute. It was an hour and 12 minutes or something. It was really short.
Just keep it short. That's all.
And that was good. And it could, if they had nudity with Jessica Alba, which she doesn't do, it would have been better.
Obviously.
But it wasn't a great movie,
but
I'll tell you.
The highest grossing film of the year.
I've seen worse. I've seen such worse already.
Yep. And next week, we are going to have two epics. I Am Legend with Will Smith and Alvin and the Chipmunks.
With Jason Lee.
With Jason Lee. We're also going to talk about The Perfect Holiday and The Kite Runner, which is getting a lot of Oscar buzz, so we'll see how that one goes.
And maybe at some point we'll actually watch the screeners that we were sent.
It's been sitting there for a while.
Which is
now.
The only reason Neil actually watched Atonement.
Because I got the screener and didn't have to go to the screening.
Thank you, Focus Features, and for that you get a positive review.
Yes. Anywho, if you would like to contact us, fatguys@themovies.com. Remember, if you go and listen to the internet version, it is significantly more offensive
if
than
you don't
the non-internet
contact
version.
Us now, we'll get more offensive next week.
Exactly. And you don't want that. You can also get us on iTunes, the iTunes store, to search Fat Guys at the Movies. You can send us an email, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. And if you'd like to give us a call, which we appreciate, 614-388-8735. Kevin Carr, any words of wisdom?
Keep it real, my brothers.
Adios.
Let's put this bitch down like a dead cow.